Today we go back to our normal study pattern. Okay, we're going back to the Gospel of Luke. And oddly enough, the first text that we're going to visit is the Luke version of the Lord's Prayer. Now, I think since we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, and because so frequently so many of you say to me, how come we never say the Lord's Prayer? You all ought to get up. Right? Up. Come on. Get up. Okay? And I think together we ought to pray the words of the Lord's Prayer, which should be appearing on the screen behind me about now. We are going to use the familiar version, not Luke's version, but Matthew's version. And we will pray it using the King James words, because so many of us have learned it that way. All right? Now here's what I want. I don't want you to pray it from rote. You know, we're so familiar with the words of the Lord's Prayer that we just get going in it, man, and we can fly to the end of it without giving one of them words a single thought. Don't want you to do it that way today. Take your time and let's pray together as a sincere prayer the words of the Lord's Prayer. Are you ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. And now, having prayed the prayer, let's look more seriously at the words we have just prayed so that we can understand fully the meaning of the prayer that Jesus gave. In the Gospel of Luke, the prayer begins with a very simple and uncomplicated address. Father. There is nothing more than the respectable greeting that a little child would make to its male parent. Now, it is not the intimate form of the address, Daddy. It is the more distant, more respectful word, Father. What I want to emphasize here is that it is a respectful approach, not a familiar one. It is respectful. And then, following that respectful address, there are five straightforward, simple requests. Just five requests. Request number one, hallowed be your name. Okay, I don't know that when we pray the prayer, we ever think of that as a request. We seem to think of it as there it is. Okay? It is a petition, and it is a prayer that God's name will be regarded as holy by all people everywhere, and in particular, by the person who is praying the prayer. If I can risk being blunt, which I never am. If you don't believe God is holy, that is above everything else in your life and totally able to help you with every problem you face, why do you bother praying at all? It's the whole basis for prayer. The first request in the Lord's Prayer states what ought to be obvious. To respect my Father, I call him holy. He is above all, beyond all, and totally and completely able. Hallowed be your name. And request number two, your kingdom come. Matthew explains the meaning of the request when he adds to the phrase, "Your will be done on earth exactly as it is done in heaven." This is a prayer that what God wants will be accomplished right here on earth right now. But more particularly, when we pray this petition in the Lord's Prayer, we are asking that God's will be done in our lives. It is exactly what Jesus prayed on his knees, sweat and blood, in the Garden of Gethsemane on the eve before the crucifixion. He said, "Father, not what I want, but what you want." When we pray these words, we are declaring that we will bend our will to the revealed will of the Father as it is given to us in his holy word, the Bible. We're literally saying, "We aren't going to do it our way, God. We will do it your way no matter what." We are declaring when we pray this prayer that it is our intention to allow God's plan for us and in us to be accomplished, according to his way, his word, according to the Bible, we will live our lives. You can't do this if you intend to be in control. If what you are intending is to rule your own life, if you are saying bluntly, "I don't care what the scripture says, I'm going to do it my way," you can't pray the Lord's Prayer with sincerity. Your kingdom come, not mine. But there is a second nature to this second petition. When we pray that God's kingdom will come and that his will be done on earth as it is done in heaven, we are praying that the sky will roll back as a scroll and that Jesus Christ himself will appear and descend to earth. When we pray this prayer, we are praying for the end of this age and for the return of Jesus Christ. When we pray these words, we are asking Jesus to come and establish the reign of God on earth as the book of Revelation declares he will. We're praying for Jesus to return to earth and to begin his reign now. Your kingdom come. Request number 3, give us each day our daily bread. Now, folks, daily bread is the supply of resources that you need to live today. The request is that God will give us whatever it is that we need in order to live today. Give us our daily bread today, each day. It is a request that the basic necessities of this day will be provided us. Now notice that it is not a request that we have a supply for many days laid up in the bank or in the storehouse or in some other place so that we can be secure in our own resources. It is a prayer that God will give us what we need when we need it, not necessarily before. Okay, be real honest with you. Don't like this one. I want to know I'm going to get it before I need it. But what God requires is that I step out in faith and then I trust him not to give me stuff for a year from now, although he might, but to trust him to give me what I need for today. Today. Give us each day our daily bread. Request number four, forgive us our sins. Now, technically, I know we like trespasses, but the word sins means sins. It means the things that we have done deliberately or otherwise, which violate the moral law of God as given to us in the Scripture. It is literally the things that we do to deny the first request and the second request of the prayer. It's the things we do to declare to God that He ain't so respected after all in our lives. It is the thing we do because we're not living our life according to God's plan for us, as revealed in the Bible. That's what sins are. It's literally taking control and doing it my way, no matter what. And I can tell you, you do that, you'll be sorry. But you can, because God gave you the right to do it. Now, when we ask to be forgiven of our transgressions, of our sins, what we're asking is that God not hold the things that we have done which offend Him and which hinder our personal relationship with Him against us. We're saying, Father, don't let that junk get in the way. We'll get to how to get rid of it in the next petition. But whenever Jesus teaches about forgiveness, He makes it clear that our personal forgiveness from God is contingent upon our ability and our willingness to forgive others. It's like this. If you're sitting there saying, I am not forgiven, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm not forgiving them, they hurt me. God says, okay, you ain't forgiven. Now you think about that. Every time Jesus teaches about forgiveness, He puts that condition on being forgiven. In order to be forgiven, you must forgive. And the reason you can forgive is because you realize how much you have been forgiven. If you don't forgive others, don't even bother asking God to forgive you. Forgive us our sins. And then request number five, lead us not into temptation. The word translated temptation means trial. The reference is to anything in my life that would cause my integrity or my resolve to let God's will be done in my life. Anything that would cause my devotion to God to waver. Anything. It is a call to become involved in some behavior that will cause my commitment to God to be questioned in my own eyes, or worse yet, in the eyes of those who are watching me. This request is that the person praying these words will be kept away from anything which would weaken his resolve to follow God's plan for his life as revealed to him in the Scripture. The problem is that though we may pray with sincerity the words, lead us not into temptation, we all know that we will be led to the moment of trial, into temptation. For so Satan throws before us all kinds of trials and temptations in order to suck us away, to get us to leave the revealed plan of God and to follow our own way so that we will suffer the consequences of making wrong choices. All he wants to do is hurt us and hurt our Father. The point of the request is that when we come to these moments of temptation and trial in our life, that we will give into them, knowing we'll give into them, unless we're praying that God Himself will intervene to deliver us from Satan's grip. Hear me now. Please listen to me. If you think that you are strong enough in and of yourself, that you've got all that spiritual enemy built up and laid in the bank, waiting for you to draw on, if you think that you can overcome the temptation that Satan will throw at you in your own power, think again. Because if you approach it from that place, you will fall. Flat on your face, in the dirt, in the mud, and other people who have been watching you will look at you and weep for your fall, and many will be led astray. You are not strong enough on your own to withstand the trials Satan brings. Your only hope is in Him. Pray then that He, Jesus Christ Himself, will deliver you from that temptation. Now, let me calm down a minute. It all looks so simple, doesn't it? Nice little request, Father. Five simple requests. Nothing deep. Think again. It's five short petitions. Touch every aspect of our lives, don't they? They said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. And what they wanted was a prayer that would change their lives. And He gave it to us, didn't He? Five little requests that touch every aspect of life. And isn't Satan good? He taught us to pray it. From memory, in rote, without ever once stopping to say, what is it that I'm saying here when I pray this little simple prayer? How deep it goes in all of its simplicity. And how we need to learn to pray the prayer which Jesus gave us with meaning. Right? But after the prayer, Jesus went on to teach a little bit more about prayer. Told His disciples two little stories, parables, if you like. Story number one was about the guy with the persistent neighbor. You remember? Midnight, he's pounding on the door. Boom, 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 boom. Wants bread. But not just any bread. He wants three uncut loaves. You know why? Somebody showed up at his house unexpectedly, and he's out of bread. Okay? No 7-Eleven. No Wawa. So he came to you, and he's banging on the door, demanding bread. And not just a little bit of bread, a whole lot of it. He don't want to give his buddy who just arrived a sandwich. He wants enough bread for a whole meal. And there you are, all snuggled up under the covers. The kids are fast asleep. Boom, 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 give me bread. And Jesus says, even though you won't give him bread because you're feeling kindly to him, you'll give him bread to shut him up and send him home. And Jesus said, keep at it. Don't stop praying. Pray it over and over again. If it ain't working, say it again. Keep repeating the prayer until indeed God moves on you. Keep praying. And then there was the other little story about the earthly father whose kid asked for bread. And Jesus said, even an evil man wouldn't give his kid a snake or a scorpion. The point is, you can ask God for all the bad things you want to ask him. I mean, you can beg him to let you go live life your way. Give you permission to be a sinful person that no one can ever, ever trust. You can ask that. But here's what you can be assured of. If what you request is bad for you, our loving Father in heaven will not give it. So don't be afraid to pray. Just know that you'll never have peace about your prayer unless first you understand God won't give it to you if it's bad. You can take it, but it won't be from him. And everything he gives you will bring peace and joy and blessing.